for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast that are 40 years to playing PlayStation and, like, I don't know, 20 years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Now, Max, as a fellow father, I'm sure you can understand this. Like, how often have you attempted an activity or an experience with your child, and then very quickly realize your body is not capable to achieve said task?
My children are not at the age yet where they can pick activities where I don't have the final say, and I would allow them to pick something that I could not physically do.
Well, so I am in quite a bit of aching pain.
But very soon, I would imagine.
Yes, I hope so. Because I'm in quite a little bit of aching and paining. So I made the bold decision this weekend to, like, say to my son, hey, let's do something fun. So for context, we've discussed this in the past, in the previous, that, you know, Phoebe and I are in the process of doing this IVF thing on Friday that just went. That was our big collection day where they went and grabbed all her eggs and I hung out with her in a small room with a cup. And in doing so, you know, her insides were quite sore. So I was like, all right, well, what can we do this weekend that will allow James to burn off energy so he doesn't just throw himself at her like he normally does and, like, further damage her, you know, sore insides? I was like, okay, well, he got his new scooter this week because he had outgrown the other one. The other one was a little bit too big, so actually kind of made it dangerous for him to ride. I'm like, all right, well, then let's do something with the scooters. And I was like, okay, well, what if, like, I don't live too far from the skate park. What if we just rode to the skate park? We need to get haircuts. We'll go across to the shopping center that's next to it, get our hair done. Go back to the skate park, and then we'll wander back whenever. Sounds fun. Cool. That went off without a hitch. That was great. And then he was like, can we do it tomorrow, but with my friend Kobe? I was like, sure. Like, Phoebe was still feeling a bit rough. And I was like, okay, well, let's just go do that. So after to and fro, the skate park, as well as in the skate park, because now that James has a scooter that best fits his size, the slightly bigger one, I can now ride. I meet its weight limit. I meet its height limit. It's awesome. Like, it was really fun for the two of us to go on our little, you know, I had a backpack with some drinks and some snacks and some stuff, and then we just went off and had the adventure. And it was really fun until today, where I woke up and it all hurt. Like, it's just from nips to my toes, it's just all aching. Like, calves, thighs, hips. Like, I did my back and shoulders somehow. I don't know, dude. I was way too ambitious for a man with a 36-year-old age, but a body that is more than likely sitting in its probably mid-50s. Yeah, mid-50s, yeah. Because I've treated this like garbage for so long.
Well, we did the pool this weekend. Mm. So Hadley wanted to do something. And the original plan was we were going to take the kids down to Rippleside. And then Ali's parents rang. They're like, hey, we're going to go to the pool. Do you guys want to come? We're like, yeah, sure, why not? And I was originally going to stay at home and hit that Crimson Desert up. And I'm like, oh, no, I'll be good. I'll come.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to take Ollie. And Ollie doesn't like the pool. Ollie likes the outdoor play, like the water park section. Hadley doesn't like the water play park section. She only likes the pool. So I spent an hour and a half walking up and down the stairs, going down water slides with Ollie for an hour and a half. While Hadley just chilled out in the pool with her grandparents.
In like that nicely heated rehab pool with the oldies, just sitting back chilling.
Yeah.
Always like, wee.
Ollie once again proved that he has zero chill because some big kid pushed in front of him and the kid turned around and is like, just wait your turn. And Ollie just fucking pushes him in the face and pushes him down the slide backwards. Ollie's just like, fuck you, buddy.
Wait, so this grown-ass kid told a toddler to wait their turn.
I would imagine he would have been about James's age.
What a little cunt.
Yeah, and then Ollie just like fucking smacked him in the face. Good. Pushed him down the slide backwards.
Dude, one of my absolute greatest pet peeves, right, is just the inconsideration of other people's fucking children. Whether it be at the pool or at the skate park or at like the trampoline places. Like I have instilled in James, like, hey, just be mindful of those people around you, right? Like, we don't want to get in their way. You know, we don't want them to get in ours. Let's just keep to ourselves. Whatever. Every other kid clearly has the most absent fucking shithole parents I've ever seen because they just have zero disregard for anybody else. Their space, everything. They are just jumping. They are just running. They are just getting directly in the way. And like, nearly caused my son to stack multiple times. I'm like, I'm going to slap this random fucking kid if he gets in my kid's way again. I will boot him off his fucking bike. And at the pool, I'm like, if this kid splashes me again, I'm going to drown his fucking face into the vent. Like, I hate other people's children. 90% of the time, I despise the little fucks. And there's occasionally a couple of cool kids. Because, like, this weekend, I told you, it was 2 weeks ago when we went to the mountain bike place and that kid's front wheel fell off in cartoonish fashion. We bumped into that kid at the skate park. He walks up to me and he's like, hey, do you remember me? I'm like, no.
And then he rode his bike for 5 minutes and then the wheel fell off. He's like, what about now?
He's like, the wheel fell off my bike. I'm like, oh, man, that sucks for you. He goes, yeah, it was at the mountain bike place. And my brain went, bitch. Oh, that kid. Oh, you. I remember you. You're a dude. I'm like, I told everybody that story because you took that shit like a champ. Like, that was awesome. So yeah, small world. But either way, that kid's okay. Like other kids, you know, other kids, he's okay. That kid was really cool. Every other kid can get fucked. How's your week been, man?
Yeah, it's fine. I found out that I made a bit of a boo-boo this week. So I was, we had a public holiday last week. So I was expecting a little bit more pay, my pay slip this week. Because I've worked my public holiday, and then I'm like, it's feeling a bit light this week. What's going on? And then I recheck my emails. Turns out I was not supposed to work. So this is what happened. So generally speaking, I work state public holidays, but not national public holidays.
Yeah. It's
always been that way. My boss emails me. He's like, hey, are you working the public holiday set? And I said, look, I forgot to leave a note for the people, but I'm like 98% sure that I'll be working because it's a state public holiday. Mm-hmm. He's like, let me email them and just confirm and I'll get back to you. Now, I didn't respond to that email right away. I waited about 15 minutes and wrote back, okay, thanks, no worries. Turns out as I hit send, I received an email saying, you don't need to work, you can have the day off. So I never saw that email, but I replied with, okay, thanks, no worries. And my dumb ass went to work and didn't get paid for it. I mean, I got paid as if I didn't work it, but like my dumb ass went in and worked.
What? So are you like, is there a time in lieu situation or?
No, it's entirely my fault.
Oh, so you just got to eat it.
I'm just going to have to eat it because like they said that I didn't have to work. I went in like a dumb ass because I didn't read the email.
Oh, well, it came through. Made the next day easier, right?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. So it all evens out. But like, I'm just like, oh, typical.
What a bomb.
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is.
That is a very unlucky thing to happen.
Yeah, I'm just like, the timing on that's just ridiculous, but it is what it is.
Poo.
What about yourself? How's your week been?
My week's been pretty good. Not much. Yeah, obviously the big thing this week was the IVF stuff, going to the city and doing that. It quite a personal conversation, but I'm going to do it anyway because this is what I do. So very confronting experience, might I add, to go and have to provide a sample for an IVF in like that. It was way nicer than I expected, but still very confronting. So many, many years ago. So for those that don't know, right?
Ryan was a poor uni student. Used to sell his sperm.
No, because I can't. There's a thing like that. So for those that don't know, I have medical history that led me to believe that I could not have children, right? Like it was physically impossible from things to get from A to B, right? Simple as that. Many, many moons ago, back when my ex-wife and I first were together and we're a couple years in, it was like, okay, we're probably going to be together for a while. We should look at this because if we want to have a future, we need to know what it is going to be like. Like, can we have children? Went and did a test and I went there and they're like, oh, there's a bathroom over there. I was like, oh, gross. Okay, cool. And that was even a worse experience. But so we were told then, hey, can't have, you know, the test came back, the sample less than the readable. They didn't say that at the time. It wasn't until much later. They're like, yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm like, okay. So I assumed it was zero. Well, not because I have a fucking kid. And, you know, Phoebe and I have fallen pregnant a couple times. So, but either way, like we were going to need assistance. Like it was absolute fluke chance that my son exists and even fluke chances that have fallen pregnant in the past. So we're going through this IVF to try fix that, right? So yeah, I have to go to this thing, give a sample. It was weird. There was like a couch and a TV with a hard drive plugged into it and a little tape.
And a maitre d'.
Yeah, and there was like a lamp and like they, you know, medical box of tissues. I'm like, ugh. The couch had a little one of those. You know, when you go to a doctor and they have the table you lay on, they've got the little plastic sheet thingy on it so you don't get there's one of them on the couch. So you're like, you're not sitting in someone else's butt, I guess. You could dim the lights
in case you miss and it lands on the couch. I think is the more.
I was more. You know, the butt juice exchange, but that actually makes way more sense. there was instructions on how to like.
Hang on. Were you just sitting on this couch naked?
No, I was not. But now that's fucking way funnier because I assure you, someone at some point has got butt ass naked to like in this room. It was bizarre. And like, we've discussed this in the past, right? We mentioned it in a throwaway comment, I think last week or week before, this collective ban that they have here in Australia. It started as a social media ban and it's now extended into like porno ban, right? So you can't get any to the sites, any of the big sites, right? Not going to happen. They're like, but Brown, please verify your age. And like, you can't
verify your age. It's create an account.
Yeah.
But Australians can't create accounts. Fuck you guys.
It's either create your account or use this other piece of software just to look at your naked boobies, right? Apparently that wasn't a rule at the Women's Hospital in Melbourne. On this hard drive, they had an array, a catalogue of pornos, if you would. It allowed for way more, a larger range of tastes than I would have considered. I would have expected like some straight standard P to V, like that would make sense, right? Just some standard, just... You know, 3.5 minutes of missionary on video. It's probably made sense, right? But, oh my God, was there a plethora of choice? There was like, you know, one man, two women, two men, one woman, three men, one woman. You know, like one man, three women. I was like, okay, cool. Multiple people. Look, that's not my interest, but I get that's people out there. Then there was like latex shit. Then there was like, you know, various homosexual couplings. I'm like, okay, sure, why not? There was a pegging one. I'm like, okay, that's someone's, I suppose. There was like really thin people and there was really big people. Like everything that was like safe, like there was like a bondage-y sort of one as well. Look, granted, I kind of just sat there and just flicked them like, what have they got here? Before, I just, I, I, I admittedly ADHD'd myself
you hit
in
that,
my own.
You hit that analysis paralysis porno to jerk into.
I got like that Netflix freeze. Like, there's too many choices. What am I going to do? Because I didn't even fucking think about it. I just was like, oh, let's go do it.
And then you settled for some good old fashioned tentacle ball.
Yeah, and there was a fucking hentai option. I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, they've catered for everything.
Your kid's going to come out a weeb because you jerked into hentai.
And like, and this is the other thing, right? Like, I know this is super personal and like, it's why I'm making a joke of it. But what I find really funny is I think there was only like one room. And like, when I arrived, there was like a couple people ahead of me. And then when I left, the people behind me as well. And I was like, we all just like, the receptionist is just like, has to know that like this array of just dudes are just gonna.
Could you see like previous searches so you could?
No,
see
the people. That was what I looked for. First thing I looked for was they're like previously viewed because I wanted to see what the dude ahead of me was watching, but it didn't work that way. But yeah, that was a funny experience.
Here's the ultimate personal question: did you spend more time browsing the porno than you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I was like, none of this is my shit. Like, granted, I didn't watch every video because I didn't, like, half that shit doesn't interest me. But I went through that list. I'm like, what's that? Okay, all right, that's a choice. And, like, as, you know, understandably, I would have to go much less time than day surgery. So Phoebe was, you know, occupied for much longer. I did have to go back and do a second one, though, because they went, hey, your first one's kind of bad.
You did a shit job.
You won't do it again. Well, but it's one of those things, like knowing full well, like because of my history, that was a possibility. Yeah. So I was like, sure, I guess I'll do it again. So then I got to go through the list all over again. I'm like, I'm going to tell this story because I cannot believe the list of fucking pornos on this hard drive. I'm going to flick through it again just so I can tell Max.
Appreciate it.
No worries. And I thought it'd be a good story for the pod. And I had to tell Phoebe. I'm like, this is fucking hysterical. And yeah. So then we go back in on Wednesday. And they'll, because out of the 15 eggs that were collected, 9 of them became viable embryos, which is a good, which I'm considering a good result.
Solid.
So yeah. So we'll, presumably one will get like implanted and the rest will be put on ice. So that if the first one's unsuccessful, we've got at least, you know, 8 other goes. Ideally,
did they turn around and be like, we like full on like do this properly, and you could end up with twins?
That wasn't mentioned to me because obviously a lot of the correspondence is going through Phoebe. Mm. So who knows? But
because don't they use like they use multiple things to like try and guarantee a?
I think they could they could put a couple in.
And then they're like, whoops, you've got triplets now.
Yeah, well, we don't need twins, man. We don't need triplets, Jesus Christ. But, yeah, so it's like,
over here.
It's exciting, scary, because as I've said before, like with James, it's things are a little bit different because we didn't know we could fall pregnant. We didn't find out until like kind of into the second trimester. So rather than having 9 months to prepare or like 8 months to prepare, we had like 5, 6. So I had to go from believing that my understanding of what I could do biologically and my fundamental understanding of the world for me shattered. I'm like, you know, I'd come to terms with the idea that I could never have a kid. And then suddenly you're like, you've got 5 months to sort this shit out in general. And sort it out within yourself. And it didn't go well. But this time, we've had more time to prepare. Because we've been going on this journey for like 2 years now. Almost 3 years now. Right? So, I have nothing but preparation. And like that anxiety is a very different kind of anxiety. Because, you know, because we're doing the steps to ideally make this pregnancy happen quicker. Or have a higher success rate, I should say. We are monitoring like every step along the way. Like Phoebe is a ball of anxiety most of the time around it. I'm doing my very best to like be the logical one because that help. If I don't do that, then my brain will collapse. So it's very much like, well, we can't jump to this conclusion because this is only information that we have. So it's like good and bad in that we can prepare and we can have everything we need, and but that also adds this other layer of just fuck. Because like with like Hadley and Ollie, you were actively trying both times, right?
Yeah.
So like you kind of had that same level of sort of preparation time too.
But yeah,
not
to
the extent that we have, obviously.
Basically, well, with Hadley, it was, I was away at the time because I was in Japan, and then it was like, let's try when I get back, let's try. And then next minute, Ellie was pregnant. I'm like, okay, cool.
Sorry, to preface, Max was in Japan. Ellie, I believe, was or was her,
no, like, no, no, she, the,
she didn't fall pregnant while he was in Japan. I just want to clarify that. Hadley looks weirdly like Max. It's fine. It's like my kid, like, because we had the same problem of like, well, I can't make kids, what the fuck, but he's just me, so it made it really easy.
And then with Ollie, it was pretty much the same thing. We're like, hey, we'll see what happens, like whatever happens. And then it happened pretty quickly again, and we're like, okay, that's probably enough now.
Yeah, that's enough now. Yeah.
We're lucky enough to have one of each, and we're like, okay, let's just stop there.
Yeah. So like, we're quite obviously anxious and scared, but excited. Like I'm like, but you know, excited as well. And like for me, there's the other anxiety of it all around because of my medical history, and you know, even with the information that we got on Friday. They're like, hey, you know, because of these things, we're going to need to do it a little bit differently, blah, 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 blah. And like my immediate thought was, I am the problem. I am the reason that we've had four miscarriages, or three of them, I should say. I'm the reason we're struggling to fall pregnant. I'm the reason we're going to have to go down this route. So every time it fails, I feel it falls on me because I have inefficiency. That's not the word I'm looking for. Whatever. I can't quite think of the word. Deficiency, I guess. Deficiency. But, you know, so like I'm grateful that we're able to get such a good number in this first bit. Because then it means there's a higher chance that one of them would work, I hope, anyway. So yeah, like it has been a roller coaster for like both of us, but like I'm very excited. Like I have decided in my head that it's going to be a girl. I don't know why. That's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm keen to be a girl dad. And I believe I've shared like, you know, the name that we've considered and all these little things. And like, I'm down with another dude too. That would be awesome. I think James being a big brother for another son or a daughter would be amazing. But I don't know. I want a girl. Something about it. Be cool. Same as you. One each. And because a big part of me is like, well, you know what would be really cool? Like, in the way that James is like a real good carbon copy of me, I think it'd be fun if we had a girl and it was like a carbon copy of Phoebe, or even a carbon copy of me would be fucking hysterical and suck for Phoebe. But because those Betchen genes are pretty strong, it seems, when they actually work. So, like, you know, I'm thinking about, like, you know, the girl that we would want to raise is going to be a blast, I feel. Like, she wants to be all super fucking girly? Hells yeah. She wants to be all, like, you know, dude energy? Like, fuck yeah, too. Like, you know, she's going to guaranteed be neurodiverse, right? Like, she's going to have tism, right? She's going to have tism. It's everywhere in the fucking Betsons. We're spicy as hell. But that, what I hope that means, in the same way that, you know, I've managed to like get Phoebe into the gaming space, maybe I can convince this new baby to become a gamer as well. So then there'll be more things that we can play and we can share. And that is a very loose segue into what we've been playing this week. Max, you have probably, you've been playing what would many would consider one of the most anticipated and hyped games for a while, and that is Crimson Desert. Let's talk about it.
Oh, yeah. So, Crimson Desert is the latest title from Pearl Abyss, known for Black Desert Online. They are the MMO guys, and they're like, let's throw our hat in the single player ring. I've been following this game for what feels like 5-ish years, and my one takeaway has always been this has got to be too good to be true. It's, you know, it sold us that promise of Breath of the Wilds. If you can see it, you can go there, you can climb anything you want to, but it's got like incredible graphics. Okay. I am playing it on a base PS5 unit. It is not the optimal way to play the game. Fuck me. Okay. Performance mode just doesn't work on PlayStation at the moment. They're trying to patch it. It just doesn't work. The upscaling and the VSync stuff just doesn't work. It makes the game look worse.
Okay.
It doesn't provide any benefits to its actual performance. It just makes the game look
worse. Is there
way
a balance, or is it just quality balanced and performance?
There is quality balance and performance. So just don't use performance mode.
How's
balance?
So, because I was, you're similar to myself in that I commonly pick, because I'll talk about Clair Obscur shortly. But I always pick
for performance. I would prefer the game not to stutter and look a little bit worse than for it to look pretty and like three things appear on my screen and then I just all of a sudden just drop a bunch of frames. I would prefer to have that stable frame rate and take a dip in quality than have the dip in my gameplay.
So is balance was it the 45 frames per second thing?
Yeah, I believe so.
So if you have VRR, it works, which the same monitor I do, which totally works. Yeah. How's that? Is that a good substitute for performance?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's aggressively fine.
So you play the story. I don't even know what's going on at the moment. I'm playing as a character named Cliff. Essentially, I am a part of a group called the Grey Means. I seem to be kind of like this virtuous, good for the people, will handle whatever request comes our way. And some rival clan called the Bear Wankers. The Bear Someones, I can't remember. They're the Bear Wankers. They come in and they just fucking slaughter all my people. They slaughter all my people. Then all of a sudden, I'm resurrected by some magical cube thing. And then it turns out all my other Grey Mane buddies have also been resurrected by some magical cube thing, and I'm now hunting down all of my Grey Mane buddies so we can form our posse again and go take our revenge on the Black Bears or the bears of wherever that, whatever.
Call them the Chicago Bears.
I'm not playing this game for the story. This is a sandbox role-playing game, and I am just living my best life.
Now, the Reverend Puck in the chat, who is our...
It could be the Black Bear.
He's our certified corrector, which I do much appreciate. He's always lingering and lurking in the chat, who comes in and corrects our facts. And he has put in the Black Bears.
It probably is. Yeah, it is definitely the Black Bears.
That was a really easy name, Max. How did you not think of that?
The Bear Wankers, fuck them.
Yeah, Bear Wankers it is.
So the game pretty much kicks you into that cutscene, and then you start playing and you get thrown straight into a boss fight, very akin to a FromSoft game.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of whether you beat that boss or you lose to that boss, you will get the same cutscene of him killing you and kicking you off a cliff. There is no like bonus item for killing that boss. There's like you just to progress a story, it is in your best interest to just stand there, get pummeled on, and then just move the thing along. Traversal of this game is both fun and tedious at the same time.
So from my understanding is it's very like, and this is something that we'll probably touch upon a lot with this game, is my understanding is it's the inspirations for Crimson Desert are seen everywhere. Like this looks like that, that looks like this, that looks like that. And for this set, like for like climbing and traversing, it's very Breath of the Wild, like same like circle of stamina and stuff.
I would actually argue it's more akin to Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh. Because
it has the same jank feeling.
Okay. All right.
But yeah,
I was going on mechanics, but jank, the feel vibes are cool. Vibes are important.
Yeah, you have that stamina bar. You can climb pretty much any surface. Very early on, like the first town hub is essentially treated as the entirety of the tutorial area. It's where you unlock your first like important skills, which will help for traverse and all of that stuff. And one of the things that you get access to very early is essentially like a grapple. And once you gain a few levels, you can upgrade your grapple to allow you to essentially use it as a zip line. So you can jump and launch yourself to where the grapple point is hooked. You can swing like Spider-Man. Eventually you'll get crow wings and it will allow you to fall with style, Buzz Lightyear style. So very quickly you can move around the map very quickly. Similar to Breath of the Wild, you can like stasis the trees, reel them in so they bend over and you can slingshot yourself with the trees. It's a 50-50 chance whether you smack into the tree or go over the tree as intended. A few times I've smacked into the tree and died to falling damage. Awesome. That's fun. But a lot of the skills have a stamina cost. And if you're not paying attention to that, you'll buy the skill and you don't have the amount of stamina required at the start of the game to use those skills. Mm-hmm. You have to level the stamina up. So one of the big things that I was mentioning with this game is there are no levels.
Mm.
That's true and not true at the same time.
So there when you say levels, not like we're talking like RPG class levels, right?
Yeah, so like a classic level up system with an RPG where you would gain a level, you gain a skill point.
Mm-hmm.
So you technically can gain skill points via like combat XP, but you don't go, congratulations, you're now level 2, get a skill point. It's mm-hmm. just you get a skill point when you fill the bar, and then the bar resets and you can go again. You can also get those skill points from completing puzzles in the world. You can get them as loot drops from certain enemies. You can get them from completing challenges inside the game. So there's a way that you can kind of game the system and farm and become a little bit overpowered by getting these skill points early. But there's no like leveled system. It's not like, oh, I've traveled too far now, I'm under leveled for this area. It's kind of just however you want to play, you can kind of play it.
So normally when they do leveling systems in RPGs, the idea is to gate off particular areas or combat or bosses, whatever. So how does the game address that? Shit kicked in.
It feels very much like Elden Ring. If you just want to go wherever you want to go, you can go there. And if you beat that area, you can beat that area. It's not.
Okay.
It just depends on how well you play the game. So, you know, it depends on if you focused on like what you spent your early level skill points on, whether you went, oh, okay, I'm going to spend it on actually getting stamina or actually getting health, or I'm going to use it to get abilities so I'm better at combat or I'm better at traversal. I've kind of rounded it off a little bit. I've got some, I spent some points on stamina and HP. I've also got some wrestling moves. I sent you a few video clips so I can RKO people, which is fun.
Okay, so this is the thing. So I'm interested in this game eventually, and once you're done with it, I'll flog that disc off you and I'll give it a try. The only thing that really made me go, oh shit, because I'm a giant dork, was I was listening to a review and they're like, yeah, there's like wrestling moves in it. I was like, what the fuck? And then you sent me a list of like, there are 25 things you can do in the game, and like 23 was like an RKO. I'm like, is this a joke? And you're like, no, this is legit. And then you proceed to send me clips of like, you just pump kicking a dude, then turning into an RKO. I'm like, what the fuck? And then he sent me another clip like an hour later of you just RKOing like 5 dudes in a row. And suddenly I'm really invested in this game.
Well, you can, so you know how in like the later Tekken games, you can just like grapple combo with King?
Yes.
You can do that in this game.
Okay.
So now I pump kick, and as they fall, I can grab their feet and do like a turnabout spin and just fucking yeet them.
Well, like, so, grab them like a what's Cesaro? Like, it's like there's a wrestler called Cesaro, or he's Claudio Castagnoli now. So what he would do is he'd grab them by their feet and he would stand in the middle and just like lock his arms and like do a big like three. So it's just that,
and then I throw them at the end. Awesome.
It is just a big swing, isn't it, Puck? Thank you. Yeah.
So now I tend to choose my battles carefully, mainly on bridges or near cliff edges, so I can just yeet people off the side of the mountain.
Are there other wrestling moves? I know I'm focusing on the wrong part, but can I suplex a motherfucker?
So far, I only have access to those three, but I haven't fully upgraded the grapple tree. The grappling has its own tree.
All right. Oh, you keep talking. I'm going to Crimson Desert grapple skill tree.
Learning skills is very interesting in this game. You can either choose to spend a skill point on the skill, or you can learn that skill for free by observing an NPC doing it in the world, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if you want to get them earlier, you just spend the skill points on them as opposed to trying to hunt someone down who has that skill and will actually show you. Mounts are a must in this game. It takes
forever. Oh my god, there's actually wrestling matches in Crimson Desert.
Yep.
Sorry, keep going.
Mounts are a must. Traversal's pretty rough with just feet and flying, because the stamina usage for flying is just ludicrously expensive, and you don't get very far. At the moment, I only have access to a horse, but if you've watched the trailers, you'll see that you get access to bears and dragons and hot air balloons and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, okay. That is okay. So this article I've looked at, I'm sorry, I am distracted.
No, you're right.
There is... picks RKO and like there's a suplex, but it's not just a standard like feet planted, just straight suplex. It is very similar animation to the RKO. Like they hoik him up and then they jump and then I'm in. Fucking I'm in.
And combat is atrociously unintuitive.
Oh.
As with most of the controls for this game.
And there is also like a brutal just like gut wrench suplex with like it's almost a dragon suplex where they like land really high on their neck. Oh, sorry. I'll let you keep talking. I'm really getting distracted in the wrong parts.
It's all right. So it uses the standard like R1 for a light attack, R2 for a heavy attack, and then all of your actual skills are like mapped to R1 square, R1 circle, blah, blah, blah. Your grapple moves are like X and square at the same time, or triangle and circle at the same time.
Kind of like any most fighting games.
And then you've got, you have the ability to raise your sword to the sun and then focus the sun's beam is like a fucking, like a laser. And that's like the two trigger buttons. And then you got to release one of them and then repress it down to focus the beam. And you can set things on fire in the environment. You can blind people by shooting the sun rays into their eyes and then stab them. There's all kinds of things. I had Hadley sitting next to me the other day and I had to get her to close her eyes because I was in the local church of the town and I saw a nun steal something and I followed her out and then she ran. So I like spear tackled her and then I just proceeded to pummel her face in. And then it's like, I have your bounty. I'm going to take you to prison. And then I just just hog-tied her and carried her to the local militia and went, I found this person. Where's my reward? And she's just like, well, beaten. And I'm just like, okay, this is intense. So the best way, I think I described the game to you this way. It's like a mixture of Kingdom Come Deliverance, but like cranked up.
But like Red Dead World sort of. Yeah. Like a lot of the... A lot of what I'm hearing is like, yes, it's all these influences. There's a stack of, you know, Elden Ring feeling. And there's a stack of Breath of the Wild. And there's a little bit of Assassin's Creed in there. The world feels really sort of Red Dead in that, like, it's a world you actively want to live in and explore. But the story is just cheeks. And the characters, so like, and Cliff is just boring.
Yeah, so like my last play session was literally me just hunting and fishing so I could cook and get... Like, because eating food is what heals you in this game.
Oh, so like no potions or anything?
Nah.
It is like Kingdom
Come. Not that I've found so far yet anyway, but it's just basically cooking. One of the things I did work out is if you kill an animal, you can drop your raw meat on the ground and then use your sword to fucking laser beam the raw meat on the ground and it'll cook it for you. If you're not near like a campfire, you can just use the power of the sun to burn your meat like you live in Australia.
Shit. Okay.
It's wild, the things that you can do.
So, question. With Pearl Abyss being previously an MMO, game developer, right?
Mm.
From everything I'm seeing, reading, and taking on board what you've said, it feels like that this is ostensibly a single-player MMO, in that the world is big, it's like wide, it's vast, but it's shallow, and things are kind of straightforward. Like you can, but because it's not a multiplayer game, you can do more like deep so physics-y based stuff. But
here's the first four quests that it gets you to do. It's follow a man to town,
mm-hmm.
go to the local tavern, collect information, win an arm wrestling match, talk to the local children, and rescue their cat.
So, it's an MMO quest structure. Okay.
It's just, a lot of it's nonsense. I've just unlocked base building. So I've now got my own encampment where all my gray mane buddies who I've found are like hanging out, and I'm building up a base. I can build my own house. And just before we started recording here, I robbed the local bank because I was poor. I stole all their silver and then put it back into their bank for investment.
Yeah, then you purchased a lockbox and put all the silver in said lockbox. Is there farming?
Not that I've noticed so far.
No, fuck this.
There's farming in the sense that you kill a lot of animals and like cook food with
them. Well, that part looks like, that I oddly enjoyed the hunting experience in Red Dead so much. Like try to find like the exotic legendaries, but also just like hunting for the fun of it. Just try to get like a 3-star, little deer or whatever.
So go. So when you die, it gives you two options. It's reload your save,
mm-hmm.
or go back to your last checkpoint, or they have an item in the game called Palmer Pills, which are a consumable that allow you to instantly revive on the spot, but you only come back with 30% of your health.
Okay.
So if you're like mid-boss fight, you die, you're like, hey, I'm coming back. And
the resurrection stone in God of War.
Yeah, essentially. So you can craft these. Like once you find the recipe for them, you can craft them, so you can have essentially infinite lives. My one gripe with this system is it's dumb. If you die to, let's say you fall into a pit trap, right, mm-hmm. and die. This is exactly what happened to me. I was doing a puzzle. I missed my jump because the controls are a bit jank. I fell into a pit of spikes and died. It's like, hey, do you want to reload your checkpoint or do you want to just instantly revive at 30% health? And I'm like, surely if I instantly revive, it's going to put me up to where I jumped from. No, it just respawns you on top of the spike and instantly die again.
Nice. And is it hard to come by these secret pills?
No, not really. You go gather 15 flowers and one other item and you just craft it. It's like you could farm them. You could spend an hour and have like 20 of them.
That's not so bad.
The boss fights are fun.
Mm.
I have fought four so far. They have all gone the same way, which is me just kind of shield blocking them. And then when there's an opening, RKOing them in the face because it seems to fill their stun meters real quick.
Well, it is. It is a stun-based move, right? That's the idea.
And then when they're stunned, I just fucking wail on them with my sword and do my finisher attack. I'm about to fight, this was in the, one of the trailers, it is basically the Big Daddy from Bioshock,
mm-hmm.
except he's got two drill arms, not just one. I'm about to fight that fool. But I am enjoying my time with it, and it's purely because I'm enjoying, like you said, living in that sandbox world, doing my own thing, exploring the map. I don't really care about the story. It's not why I'm playing this game. But it is a rough play on a base model PS5.
Because you mentioned a bit earlier with the various controls, my understanding is that the controller layout, like you almost need like a third opposable thumb sometimes.
Not really. They just made stupid choices. So like X, holding down X is walk fast. Tapping it is sprint.
Yeah, very, very GTA.
Square is jump, but holding square is interact. So the amount of times I've accidentally just fucking jumped into people instead of talking to them is ridiculous. Mm. You have to be looking directly at the object you want to be interacting with, or it just won't work. So you can often like have to walk around in circles to pick up certain items just to find that sweet spot of finding that perfect spot. I have found that some inputs just don't work. Like you will be sprinting and then you try to jump and it won't jump and then you fall off the cliff and miss your jump.
Is it just straight up input delay or is it because yeah. is it because jump is two things? It's like, are you trying to interact with the ledge?
Well, the other issue is if you're sprinting and then go to jump and you hit sprint at the same time, it's like, oh, you push square and X. That's grapple. And you just come to a dead stop and try and grapple. It's like, no, I wanted to fucking jump.
Hmm.
Pushing jump and then jump again activates your crow wing so you can float. But there's a double jump ability in the game that is square, then square. So sometimes you'll double jump. Sometimes you'll just start gliding.
Do you think that the controls would be a more intuitive system on a PC where you have a keyboard with more buttons?
They're just as bad. Apparently they're just as bad.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Phoebe's got me water. I'm coughing up a storm for some reason.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, apparently they're just as garbage. I don't know firsthand because I haven't played it on PC. I've only just played it on console. Mm-hmm. But like I refunded the skill for double jump because I'm like, it only works 50% of the time.
And like have you been disadvantaged by not selecting it?
No, because there is another skill. Very early on, you get what is essentially force push.
Ah, cool.
And level 2 of force push allows you to force push downwards, which pushes you upwards.
Ooh.
And you can do that 3 times. So I get quadruple jump by not buying double jump. I just force push and force push and just shoot myself upwards.
Okay. All right.
The other big thing for traversal is you have the land itself of Pyrel, and you have all your fast travel points and whatnot. And then you have your secondary map, which is what they call the Abyss, which are the sky islands that exist above the land. And because they're above the land, you can use the fast travel points up there and then just jump off the side. And you fall down onto the land underneath. So you can kind of use your gliding system to fly across. And unlike, I don't recall if this is true in Zelda or not, but once you run out of stamina, you fall.
You just fell out of the sky, yeah.
But in this game, you start regaining your stamina. So you can kind of like fly, drop a bit as you regain your stamina and then fly again. And as long as you pull the parachute just before you land, you don't take fall damage.
From memory with Zelda, you could do something similar, but you wouldn't regen. You would just stop. So you would lose stamina, and if you just let go and fall for a while, it would stay steady. And then
you can do that, but if you run out of stamina, it will refill for you. You'll just have a little bit of a free-falling moment. So if you don't time it correctly, you could kill yourself from fall damage. But it is a cool experience to be like, hey, look at this, and you just fucking jump off the side of the map and fly down to the under area.
Like, it really feels like, once again, from an outside experience not playing it, excuse me, like, it does really feel like a studio's had a lot of really cool ideas and a lot of really cool inspirations and just thought, well, let's just throw it all into one thing and see how it comes together.
Yeah, that's kind of, it is kind of a feeling.
So, based on the conversation we've now had for the better part of, like, what, 20 minutes, it is reasonable to say it is not a Betson game, because what I love is the story and, like, the characters, and that's what pulls me through, where this could be a max game in the world is awesome.
Yeah, but you may just get lost in that base building, like, building up your camp, going out hunting, farming, fishing, just chilling.
So, obviously, it's very early days because this game is expected to be hundreds plus hours.
Mm.
How are you, like, what are your, like, overall thoughts at this moment? Like,
so far, I'm digging it. I did mention that the controls are very unintuitive, but once you get into your flow state, it does come pretty easily.
Like, Red Dead does feel like that too. If you don't play Red Dead for a while, the controls seem bafflingly insane. But then once you get into that motion, you start remembering what does what, and next thing you know, you're like, and you're like, you are just having no issue at all.
Yeah. Well, and for some reason, it has a GTA 5 system where you can change characters and they're just randomly found on in other parts of the map from where you left them. And they'll just be doing their own thing.
Okay.
I've only just unlocked that, so it's only just happened. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But, yeah, you know, you can go tame wild horses to become your mount. You can, if you pet dogs enough in town and feed them, they will become your ally and they'll come and pick up loot for you, so you don't have to worry about it. You can go mining, and like the other day I was exploring, I fell down a random hole, and then at the bottom of it, I found a cave just filled with diamond ore. I'm like, okay, this was worth it. And then just climbed my way back out. Put a pin on the map so I know where that is to see if it, to see if like the things respawn and can and the nodes can be mined again. You can go, you can go to the blacksmith and level up all your gear. It's not as cool as what Kingdom Come is, where you actually craft your own gear and you got to do all the forging yourself.
That was really fun.
But yeah, it is a solid game, and it is kind of exactly what I was looking for at the moment.
Awesome. Well, because that's kind of what, yeah, that was your goal, right? Yeah. Like, I hope it's something that I can enjoy as it is right now. And
yeah,
and I think because, yeah, because you have been following it for so long, you kind of, I think you've, at least my feeling is you knew what
you could be getting into. Yeah, I kind of knew what into. I was, yeah, I knew what I could be getting into.
Yeah.
And like, I played Black Desert Online as well, so I kind of knew what was coming. So far, I'm not disappointed.
Awesome. Well, speaking of not being disappointed, impressively, that's the experience I'm having so far with Clair Obscur. Excuse me. Dear God, Ryan. So, I mentioned it last week. I have borrowed a disc copy of Clair Obscur Expedition 33 from my mate Will because I was like, I had contemplated picking it up, but I couldn't find a price that I was happy with. And also with the potential that it's not a game for me, I didn't want to, you know, throw down a big wad of cash. So I booted up the other night and I played the prologue, which was at Lumiere, which is the place that the game is based in. The idea was that I was, you know, Phoebe and I were going to play it together. I started playing it. Phoebe went off to do something, some actually important thing, so she didn't come back. So I got to that point and I was like, ah, okay, cool. Well, there's a lot of story beats here. I will restart it when she comes back. So Friday night, I think it was Friday night. I was like, let's start it again. You're recovering from your things. You just want to chill out. Let's chill out on the couch and we'll play this game. It's artsy as fuck. You're going to love it. And last week she just watched this big French romantic comedy movie, doc, whatever the hell it was. So she's all primed for the Frenchness, right? Booted up, got her attention. She's cool. She's in, falls asleep. I was like, rad. Well, I'm still going to keep playing because I don't want to do this again. However, doing it again actually gave me a much better understanding of what is happening and what's setting up this world. Now, I don't remember what you said or what we discussed in the show because I barely remember the episode like 2 minutes after we finish it. But what I'm loving about Clair Obscur so far is most of it, if not all of it, is in the beginning, especially the Lumiere section, and as you land in the mainland, the game proceeds to lay down so many questions that I need to answer, that I want to answer. And when I say lay them down, it's not like, hey, did you know? Like most movies or games that kind of lay the plot points or directly tell you the questions that you need to consider. Where here, I'm finding all of it's contextual, all of it's within the environment, or it's things that I have to pick up in the subtext of conversations, right? Which, you know, as an autistic person is challenging. But because if I go in with the mindset of no one is saying, everyone is saying things, but I kind of have to fill the gaps or the questions will be answered later.
Yeah.
So when they started talking about the grammage, I'm like, what the fuck's the grammage? Like, and then I remember you telling me the basic premise of the game is that there is, you know, an event happened 67 years ago at the time of the game, a big fracture in the world, where you are is blasted off the mainland, and you're on this little island, and in the distance there is a tree, and on that tree is a number. Sitting in front of that tree is this godlike creature, is what you're led to believe initially, and I presume it to be the case, called the Paintress. And every year, at a specific time, she wakes up, wipes the number away, and writes the new one. And it's proceeding down, descending every year. That number is the instruction to have everyone that is of that age eliminated. In very similar to that of Avengers, the snap, they become petals, which is actually quite pretty, and then they flow away. in the beginning of this game, it is Exhibition 33, 34 is the number that's up. At the end of that, they wipe to 33. Everyone that's 34 is out of there. And then you, as Gustav, in your final year, as everyone gets the choice to, they go on that expedition to try understand what is happening. So in turn, you are sacrificing your last year alive for the betterment of your people. Which is a fucking cool concept, by the way. It's an awesome concept.
Yeah. So the other thing is, I'll put it in now because you're talking about the gommage. Like to gommage something is to exfoliate and remove dead skin cells. So it's like the
naming is everything. Cause like,
oh yeah, it's on point.
Like even the name Claire Obscure, right? Cause Phoebe and I were chatting about it cause she's a big artsy kid, right? So she loves fucking art and stuff like paintings and whatever. And I'm looking at this game like, man, this game feels like a painting. And then she comes in essentially being like, well, actually it's an expressionist thing. This, this, and this, and this. And I'm like, I love the bloom. I love like a lot of the shots that they are they select in the cinematics. They are so like they are placed in a way that it looks like art. Like, you know, the foreground, your background, your middle ground, the lighting, everything, the way, you know, there's like the bloom, the colors, the contrast, all of it feels really intentional. And like obviously with the big bad in the distance being the Paintress, it kind of makes sense that it's got this sort of artsy feel to it. But yeah, like all the colors seem kind of, like the edges seem kind of crushed. I thought it was like an anti-aliasing sort of problem. But no, it's just kind of to kind of have that brush strokey sort of feel. Like the lines aren't super clearly defined. Like it looks good. It looks smooth. It's not like all blurry. Not quite like a concrete genie sort of feel of like paintbrush. But there is a very conscious choice in how they're looking. Speaking of, all the characters that I've seen so far look fucking awesome. They are styled like crazy. Gustav, apart from looking like Robert Pattinson, and it throws me consistently, like their expedition outfit, they are dripped. They look dope. Like it's these like fine, they're all like skinny and lanky, Frenchy looking peeps. But they've got these nice fitted vests and jackets and rolled up sleeves and gloves and cool hair. And it's just style everywhere. And like even like Sophie, who's the girl that you meet at the beginning, she looks French as fuck. But, you know, like there's such a cool vibe to it all. And what I'm noticing is like little, obviously it's in France anyway, but like the, you know, the boat that you take to the mainland on the front of it, which the keel? Mm-hmm. I think, whatever. Like, there's two Eiffel Towers. Like, that's the design on the front. There's like, it's unapologetically French, and I'm liking that because you don't see that often. Like, most games we see are either Western or Japanese, and you might get a couple little variants here and there. Like the Metro games feel really, you know, Russian, Ukrainian, Eastern European. But I don't think I've ever really felt Slavic was the word I'm on. Thank you. I almost said Soviet, but not quite, but Slavic was the word I wanted. You know, most, you know, big, those fun sort of double A janky games tend to have that sort of Slavic feel. Mm. Where, yeah, this is just so unapologetically French, and it's fun. And the battle system just feels like straight out of Persona. Like the menu design, how it all pops up and sort of comes at you in that little radial, you know, that is really fun from a visual standpoint, because having enjoyed the combat system of Persona, really enjoyed having that there. I like that you have to build up your AP sort of by attacking things, which allows you to sort of get those bigger points and those overdrives. I did take your feedback, your recommendation, and I'm playing the game on story mode. Haven't gone into the accessibility options and did all the tinkering, but like the parries and the dodges, they're like, I'm able to hit them without too much of a concern so far. One thing that surprised me was that once I got to the mainland and sort of begun the Act One, you know, there are these little flags, almost like little bonfires, because the idea is that you are retracing the steps of the first expedition, or Expedition Zero, and you know they're the only expedition that's ever returned, right? So there's these little flags everywhere, and they're essentially the bonfires that you experience in any Soulsborne game. And in turn, like, that's where you do up your skills, etc. But it also has the same rest system, which I didn't even think about. So you rest, all the enemies in the area come back. So you can farm, is kind of what I'm expecting it to be. Like, I don't know whether if there is a grind, like a level grind you need to do at some point. But if you wanted to, you could go and tinker about. So I'm playing on performance mode because although the quality mode is visually stunning, it felt slow, it felt sluggish, where the performance just has that much higher frame rate sort of flow to it. But it is still early days. It's only like a couple of hours with Claire, and I know I'm very late to the party. But for me, I had written this game off that it wasn't a Betson game. It's very, you know, Eastern RPG influenced. And like, turn-based isn't a problem for me. I like turn-based stuff because it's something that I don't really experience too often. And I really shouldn't have. I'm glad I'm diving into the game now, because like, I'm ready for it and I'm keen for it. And I'm way more impressed with it than I had originally considered. And I'm stoked with that. I say a lot on the show. This is episode 431. I have said shit for literal years. Good shit, bad shit, dumb shit, you name it. And very similar to when back in the day when I was giving a lot of crap to Bugsnacks, right? Because I thought the game looked like crap. The song was annoying. I'm like, it's cutesy and shit just for the fun of it. Like, I'm not interested. And I was lucky just being a contrarian. But when I played it, I went, Bugsnacks is awesome. Why did I fight it? I do feel that with Claire, Obscure, I have to say, I'm in that same breath where I'm like, I wrote this game off and I shouldn't have. This game is rad. It's really cool. I'm digging it. And I have a feeling it's only going to get better. I'm only going to enjoy it more. And I can feel and see why it's sitting so highly in people's history, and particularly obviously winning Game of the Year so much last year. It's pretty rad so far. I'm really, really digging it. I'll quickly touch upon another game that I have been playing. Very similar to that of like back in the 90s, Max, which is a great segue even in and of itself. I remember there was a time, it's always really bizarre, that two movies would come out in a similar window in a couple of weeks from each other. And they're like, they're about the exact same thing. There was like Deep Impact and Armageddon. Like, they're both, you know, asteroid movies. And they came out within like a month of each other, like weeks of each other, right? The same thing has happened over the last couple of weeks on the PC, on Steam, with simulator games, particularly retro video store simulator games. So a couple of weeks ago, I played the demo through NextFest for a game called Rewind 99, which is a more, it's a video store simulator game, very much in the vein of like Schedule 1, in that it's bright, it's colorful, it's silly. Apart from running the store, you've also got to run out into the surrounding suburb and destroy like the portable DVD video renting kiosks, right? So it's not, it's more than just running the store. But in that's in NextFest as well, there was also a second demo for a game called Retro Rewinds. Even the names are weirdly similar. This one though is a much more quote unquote hardcore simulator experience compared to Retro to Rewind 99. It's still cartoonish in that all the people look really cartoony and silly, which removes that uncanny valley that a lot of sim games have, because a lot of the jank comes in the NPCs. They always look like shit. They always move like shit. By making them cartoonish, you kind of go, oh, okay. But everything else looks really hyper-realistic. And with it being a more hardcore sim, comparatively, that's where the fun is for me. So like, you know, you have different sections for the videos, and you have, there's a guy out the black at the back who sells like pornos, which is funny from our previous conversation. So you can buy like VHS pornos and bootleg movies as well for cheaper. And then you
see, are you just running a Blockbuster?
Yeah, pretty much. It's exactly the game. You are running a Blockbuster. It's dope. I'm having so much fun. Like even just like, you know, doing the returns bin is an absolute blast. Like, it's filling me with such a nostalgia, which is expected. That's what the game is channeling, right? But it's a nostalgia that I forgot. Because video stores has always been, like, I know for many people of our age, right? Has always been such a massive part of my upbringing. My love of movies and games and all came from my experiences with video stores. So where I worked in Traralgon, in the town I grew up, I worked in a shop called Golo, right? It was a discount $2 shop, essentially. Across the road was a Civic Video, which was the one of the rental companies that was in the town. And every Monday, they had $1 new releases. So on a Monday, I'd go to school, I'd skate down the hill, go to work for 2 hours, walk across the road, grab myself a new movie, and I'd skate home, right? Next day, go to school, come in, drop the tape off, go to work, maybe grab, and then I might grab some weeklies or some games or whatever and stuff throughout, right? So like my stupid knowledge of like movies and games all stems from my time at video stores. Like I would go there for fun, like which is kind of one of the most fucking autistic things you can say. I would just go to the one near my house just to browse. And I would look through all the movies, new, old genres, and I would take them all in. I'd read who's in it, directors, you know, what years they came out. Like, that was my shit. I fucking loved it. And unlike my friends Craig and Paris, who did both work for a Blockbuster at one point, and they've got all these fond memories of working in a video store. I always wanted to. It was something I've always wanted to do. It seemed like my jam at the time. It was a place. It's probably similar to all the kids these days that want to work at like an EB Games or a JB Hi-Fi or something, right? With the idea is that, oh, I love these things. Would it be cool to work in it? Understanding the business of working in those industries isn't very fun. Like I worked at JB over Christmas, we've discussed before. I enjoyed it because I knew I was only there going to be there for a short window of time. I just got to talk about shit that I loved and sell shit that I loved. It was easy. But like, it is hitting, and the way I love simulator games is they allow me to explore, experience, or try something that is out of my capability or even skill set. Like I love PC building simulator because it allows me to learn about computers and understand how to build them and how different parts can work with each other to build, you know, the optimum PC without having to spend any of the parts or really understand how anything fucking works outside of plugging the bits in like a jigsaw puzzle. Same as like I've always wanted to mess with like car mechanic simulator because I don't fucking know how cars work. I don't get it. I don't understand it. No clue. So thinking that if I play Car Mechanic Simulator, it'll at least give me like a basic comprehension around how an engine works or how to put one together or whatever that I could extrapolate, or even just kind of go, oh, if someone talks about a car and these parts, I can understand what it is. And like the, like Retro Rewind gives me that, and I'm like, it's the simplified fun version of working in a video store. Like they even come up and ask for recommendations, and unlike Rewind 99, which all the movies are sort of modern day movies or current movies that exist with alternate titles, kind of like play on titles, like, you know, there was like The Codfather or Finding Emo or like Illegally Blonde or Austin Trousers, stuff like that. This one is like Retro Rewind is more like it's all kind of procedurally generated because all the covers kind of similar but different, and they've just got really weird wacko names that they put together. excuse me, it's fun like that. You take phone calls, people reserve movies, like people pay late fees, and they, you know, hustle them if they want, don't want to pay the late fee. I love it, dude. It's right up my bullshit. It genuinely makes me happy. And our good mate, Jerd, he is, you know, he and I have a shared affinity for sim games. I was watching him stream it the other day. Like any good video store, as I'm sure you remember, Max, you know, they'd have little TVs up and they'd be playing. Well, we can have a little porno section. That's a blast. But you'd have the TVs and they'd be playing like trailers. The game allows you, like it actually tells you, like, if you make the videos this size, the, you know, this resolution, and you put it in this folder, you can play whatever the fuck you want.
That's cool.
So Jerd went and found like the old old Australian classification video, you know, the little promo video, like the family looking at the video and like, oh, it's... Ah, and like that, and like the copyright one that's like, have you found
it? You wouldn't download a car.
Yeah, like those things. And he's put them in the fucking thing. I was watching his stream and I'm hearing it. I'm like, am I having a stroke? Am I having like a nostalgia driven stroke where I'm randomly hearing the fucking VHS privacy trailer? And he goes, oh, no. I've put it in the game. And then he goes over to the monitor because it has like proximity volume. So like if you're near the TV, it's, you know, it's louder. It's all positional audio, right? It is just lighting up these old connections in my brain. Like, what a game. And when I've been playing it, I have Spotify on, but it's only a 90s playlist. Like, because it's set in the 90s, and there's no FPOS, it's cash only. Like, I'm going full-blown vibes. And it is very enjoyable. Very enjoyable for me. Big fan. Couldn't be happier.
Was it Alexa, was it?
What's going on?
Sorry, for the last 10 minutes, you've probably seen me take my headphones off. I've been fucking crazy. I could hear country music. I messaged Ali. I'm like, are you fucking watching the TV? Because it's real fucking... I can hear it through my headphones real loud. She's just come out. She's like, what are you talking about? I can't hear anything. And I'm like, well, that's weird because you normally hear shit before I do. And she walked out of the kitchen. She's like, fucking Alexa's just playing country music for some reason.
Well, I wonder what triggered that. Who knows?
No idea. I just checked my phone because one night I came home from work at like 5 in the morning and went to play a video when I was like sitting on the toilet, and it just linked to Alexa and just started blaring. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh, thank God for the porno ban. A lot of porno talk in this episode. But yeah, Retro Rewind's dope. It just makes me happy. It just hits a part of my brain that just makes me happy. All right, that's enough of that. Let's just get into the section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happens this week in PlayStation. You know what I love, Max, is every time that we go, oh man, it's a quiet week this week, we're an hour and 13 minutes deep and we're now touching the news.
It happens all the time.
It does.
PlayStation Network rebrand is coming. Sony has announced plans to phase out the PSN PlayStation Network branding by September 2026. This is primarily a visual change with no technical alterations to the service. However, I did stumble across take this with a grain of salt. It was a leaked internal email from... apparently PlayStation. Where the hell did that link go? Oh God.
Essentially saying that this has been in the plans since like 2023.
I've got it up now. Yeah, so back in 2022, PlayStation Network was reorganized into Essential Extra Premium. Mm-hmm. In 2023, a detailed multi-page document was shared internally to teams and analysts explaining how their online services were doing and their future plans for them. Essentially, they want to incorporate all of PlayStation's stuff into one happy package. So you'll get your PlayStation Network, you'll get your, like, what is it, Sony Core that you currently get if you're on the top two tiers, which is their movies. You'll have access to, like, Sony TV, which is whatever their brand is for that. I can't think of it.
No idea.
They've got Sony Music. They've got Crunchyroll. And it looks to be coming at around the time of the launch of the PlayStation 6, presumably.
Yeah.
It also alludes to you will be able to stream your games from your console to a PC, and that's why they're kind of getting rid of these PC ports, because you're just going to be able to stream your games from your console to your PC now, which is interesting. So you buy the game on your console and stream it from your console, where your console acts as a server connected to the internet via remote play at no additional cost. They're going to keep your, like, the games catalog that is extra premium and all that, but you still won't be getting those big tentpole games day and date on those services. You'll still have to pay them, pay for them up front if you want to play them straight up, play them straight away. What else was the TLDR of it?
All right, so minor technical difficulties there, like everything just kind of shit itself for a hot second. But Max, you were talking about how everything was sort of like being lumped together for this new PSN.
Yeah, so the TLDR was... Oh, fucking hell, I've lost it now.
So the idea is that, yeah, so the last thing we said before everything kind of went down was that the belief, it looks to be, that Sony are going to want to bring all
their
things
all
their
stuff together. So you'll get games, you'll get movies via Sony Pictures Core, you'll get their TV, their like TV show productions, their music, and possibly anime from Crunchyroll, which they now own. I mentioned that currently here in Australia, to buy the premium tier, it's about $215 a year. The next tier down is $160 a year, I think. For context, Crunchyroll alone in Australia is currently $150 a year. It is now more expensive than Netflix on a month-to-month basis.
Well, Disney at their highest tier is $200 a year.
Yeah. And... that is, I think, who they are competing with for that space now. It's not Games Pass. It's we're up against Netflix, who now also have games, and they have all of their stuff.
Yeah, well, I think it's been
how can they price this to be competitive, but not but still make money?
So, for me, I look at this in a couple different ways, right? So firstly, the branding of the PlayStation Network has not been used in ages. So before the stream shit itself, I was having a look at the PlayStation Store, and the PSN branding isn't anywhere. Like that old logo, which is the symbols to look like a globe.
That's been gone since October of last year.
Yeah, that's been gone for a while, right? So I think the extension of this is changing the, the conversation, or like the vernacular of using PSN. Pardon me, anywhere. Like, it used to always be on the back of PS3 cases. I remember it distinctly then and there, but it's already heading in that direction. Companies have talked a lot for a while now around the idea that what we're actually fighting for is not just your money, but it's predominantly your time. And I think you'll bring up a very good point, obviously, with Netflix having games and stuff now as well. Like, that is going to be a big part of it. And with Sony's very strong focus on transmedia in the last handful of years, like, everything, like, nothing is as simple as it is just this. Like, with the, you know, in the last couple of years with games, it's like, well, can we get a TV show? Can we get a movie? Can we integrate it into that fucking Amazon Secret level? You know, there's all these plans to take to take what it has into other places. Because Sony has an advantage outside of Microsoft, as an example, in that Microsoft is a services first company. They always have been, but they don't have their toes in as many places for media as Sony does. Sony's, you know, they've been in movies, as you said, movies, music, TV, games, fucking everything. They are in some capacity. To answer your question of how do they make it like a cost-effective bundle, I don't think you really can, because this, what will happen, and the irony of this is that the reason everyone went to streaming services is to not be like cable. I think they're going to go like cable in that, hey, we offer everything you'll ever need. You can buy it all individually and we'll have bundle deals. Hey, do you just want movies and music? Cool. You want music and games? Cool. You want games and movies? Cool. And you want games and anime? Cool. Like, I think that would be the kind of, you make this sort of a la carte hodgepodge combo. Because even though I would like the idea, if someone just went, hey, you pay $500 and you get this, and this, everything you ever need, everything that Sony can offer, $500, everything. That would be awesome. However, that is a huge sticker shock immediately. And regardless of how much they actually say that they are giving you, you won't read it as that. That's the royal you, by the way. You just read it as $500, get fucked, right? There's no easy way.
And that's why I listed our prices, because like when you look at, you know, let's say you want the ultimate, like the deluxe tier of PlayStation Plus, yeah, there's $220,
yep,
plus $150 for Crunchyroll, there's $370 a year right there.
Yep.
Then you add your movies on for an extra $100, and there's your $500 price point.
Yeah, and then, so what I mean by that is, yeah, if they lump it all together in like a big bundle price, then sure. Because if Sony, we talked about this last week, right, with the PlayStation's desire to, well, Sony particularly, and with their PlayStation branding, to step away from PC. The original assumption that we had was in order to, with the idea of the Steam machine, Valve sitting with the Steam machine, Steam boxes, whatever they want to call them, that'll be starting integrating the living room, PlayStation, the living room has always been their domain, right? So they've never seen Steam or PC as a competitor, because you're over there, we're over here. Very few people are plugging their PCs into TVs, right? So that's changed. That's going to be a drastic impact. Like, because if you think about the PS3, what did the PS3, granted, didn't work all that well, what did they try to do? They wanted to make the PS3 the hub of your lounge room. Everything you want to consume can be done on your PS3. And it bit them in the ass. In the same way that when Xbox did it with the Xbox One, it bit them in the ass too. But like, that's the console's focus. So it doesn't surprise me that in the world, and now in a world where everything is digitized and online, and Sony having so many disciplines, that they're going to want to try be the one that owns all of that. I don't think Sony offer enough to do that. Because like, I've had a look at the Sony Pictures Core, and it was cool because I was going to watch all the Resident Evil movies, and then I went down to Essential, so now I can't. But, you know, there's some cool shit in there, I suppose. I don't know. Yeah. Like, where are you at with it? Like,
I think you're right. I think selling them, like chopping it up into its parts and doing an a la carte system.
Yeah, so like you say, 40% has got to buy three.
It's got to be the best way, because if you're someone who only has PlayStation Network just to play online games, and then they're like, your options is nothing or everything for $500, that's a great way to lose all your consumers. So I would imagine this tier system may stick around, where PlayStation Essentials is still just,
yeah, that like that won't change.
You will get your 3 monthly games and you get access to online. PlayStation Extra will be, you get the games catalog, you get, and then maybe it's like, hey, you get one choice. You get movies, you get anime, or you get TV.
Yeah,
and then deluxe is like, you get two choices. You can have anime and music, or TV and video or, but it also, it always includes the thing from the previous tier. So you'll always have online at extra, like throughout you. And then once you hit extra and above, you'll always have access to the games catalog. And then you just keep stepping it up until you have the whale tier and you've just got everything.
So like the only follow-up question I sort of have is, like, I always refer to it as the PSN without even realizing, right? Like, it's just what it is in my brain. And even if we consider that they want to integrate all of these things together, I don't see it staying within the PlayStation branding, though.
It'll be Sony Online.
It'll be Sony Online or, like, the Sony Experience or, which makes you make, weren't they, didn't they do the Xperia phones? Yeah, they did. No, it was Ericsson? Yeah. Yeah, Sony Ericsson Xperia. Yeah, so like there's some sort of like that, because, you know, rather, you know, even if it's like, you know, PlayStation Essential, Extra, Premium, and then there's like Sony Ultimate or something, right? You know, just this kind of
everything. Yeah, it'll be Sony Home, and then it'll be Sony. Ooh,
that's a way better fucking name. Like Sony Home, Sony Games, Sony Movies, Sony TV, or Sony Complete or something.
Yeah.
Sony Weebs. I don't know. Look, is it the... It doesn't surprise me that there is this desire to sort of integrate into one bigger picture. We're seeing it happen over at Microsoft with it. You know, Xbox as a brand name is also changing in that it's becoming, it's very quickly becoming Microsoft Gaming rather than Xbox as its own subdivision, I guess. Maybe with the lack of Xbox in the market as a competitor, like the PlayStation branding is potentially less impactful. I disagree, but it's the only reason I can think of as to why they would want to change it. I don't know. Either way,
it sounds like we'll
see. Oh, my timestamps are all balked now.
Correct.
Gross. All right, I'm gonna have to put more work into this. I don't like it. I'm just gonna put this one here. Let's go. RE. Cool. All right,
you could scum it up. These are all very quick bit stories. You could just be like, quick bits at this timestamp.
Yeah, you might. I'll note them individually, and then if I get lazy, I'll just lump them together. Capcom is celebrating 30 years of Resident Evil on March 22nd. So that was yesterday at time of recording. With the series having evolved from its PS1 beginnings to continued prominence across PlayStation, and with the most recent release of Resident Evil Requiem, I mentioned this to you when we were talking about Requiem last week, which we still need to do our big review for with Fid. I watched a couple of lore videos that were like, I watched a truncated version. There's kind of all the main beats that you need to know for Resident Evil Requiem. And then I watched one, it was like an hour and a half. And it was just, here's everything that's happened in every Resident Evil game ever. And like over 30 years, there's a fuckload of shit to take in. But it also helped line a lot of stuff up. Like, what a franchise, by the way. Just absolute franchise. Like, that had a, you know, had really strong beginnings, sucked all kinds of ass in the middle, and they're having a really good, like, you know, last handful of years, and ideally they're on like a really strong trajectory. And I've said it 1,000 times, I was always a Silent Hill kid growing up. I don't know why I never played Resident Evil. Just didn't interest me for whatever reason, or I just didn't have access to it. But since 7, so I played Resident Evil 4 on PS2 back in the day, loved Resident Evil 4, thought it was great. But it wasn't until 7 that my understanding of Resi changed and my appreciation of Resi changed. And like, it is now up there within like one of the
I just appreciate this is like a tiny kind of spoiler, like very minute. I'm just glad that Leon's finally getting superpowers after having the T virus for fucking 30 odd years.
Yeah, straight up.
Everyone else in the series is like, I've got the T virus, or I've got this virus, I got that virus. They've got fucking super speed. Leon now has superpowers.
Yeah.
He can deflect everything with his machete.
Yeah, like he has the forearm strength of unmatched.
Did you notice that you could parry the machine gunners at the end of the game?
Yeah, you can parry the cars as they run at you in the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm. You can parry everything. There's an achievement for parrying the Lickitung.
Oh, I did that. I cut his tongue off. I got that trophy. Very cool. Happy for that. Like, this is a side thing, right? A complete side note. No, obviously, even as I spend a lot of time talking about Retro Rewind, right? And like this awesome nostalgia for like this time, previous time. This has happened a lot with me with bands, particularly, is that you start to realize, like, oh my God, these people that I grew up listening to, or movies or actors or whatever, I listened, I watched, like, you know, these genres, like things, piece of entertainment, you know, they're hitting 30 years, 40 years, like 50, you know, 60 something years for like the Rolling Stones or whatever.
Dude, I had this the other day when I'm like, Rammstein is fucking old.
Yeah, dude, Rammstein as a band is fucking old. Like, they released their first albums in the 90s. You know, and then it's a thing, it's like, as we are getting older, everything, you know, it's, I kind of forget that everything's getting older with us. So the idea of Resi being 30 years old, or even the PlayStation being 30 years old as of, you know, back end of last year, like, that's huge. That's massive. And it's like, fuck me. Like, that's so, so long. And then I'm like, damn, that is so, so long.
Mm.
We are old, man.
And like most old people, we like things that we already know. Much like Naughty Dog, keeping it in-house, actress, I think it's pronounced Mel Dandridge. She played Marlene in The Last of Us, has joined the cast for Intergalactic, The Heretic Prophet.
Mel. What, like, for a non-Australian actor, Merle is a fucking Australian name. Merle Dandridge. Oh my God, I'm pretty sure that was the name of a character on Home and Away. That has to be. Merle Dandridge down at Summer Bay getting fucking verbal biffs with old mate, Alf. That's cool. Like, yeah, Marlene was stoked. She was in the game. She was in the show. Sweet. Like, it wouldn't surprise me that even we're going to see the likes of Troy Baker, you know, or like Ashley Johnson, or, you know, all of like Nolan North, all the usual suspects coming in some capacity for Intergalactic. Like, I know that they'll have random people. Like, I'm pretty sure in the original trailer it looked like Kumail Nanjiani. Sure. Why the fuck not? I think in a lot of ways, Kojima has opened doors throughout his tenure as the auteur that he is. But I think even with Death Stranding, they're like, oh, we can, you know, we had this in like the early 2000s, where like GTA, you know, had like Samuel Jackson and fucking Danny Trejo and like all these people in it, like big well-named actors. Mm. But I think now we're having that second resurgence of it again, as like the, once again, people are seeing the medium for what it could be in some places. I say that like ideally. I don't believe that is entirely the thing. I think I'm a bit of cope there, but it'd be really cool. I'd appreciate that a lot. I think that'd be quite nice. Speaking of things, segue. Marvel Tokon has got another character announced. That is, Penny Parker has been confirmed as part of the Amazing Guardian squad in the upcoming PS5 PC Marvel Fighting Tokon. A fighter, Marvel fight, Tokon Fighting Souls. Now, if I am correct, I think Penny Parker is... yes, so if you've seen Spider-Man Enter the... second one? Enter the Multi... Whatever the fuck? Into the Spider-Verse? She's the anime chick with the fucking little Spidey robot.
If you've played the Marvel Rivals...
That is a reference that no one will know, because who the fuck plays Marvel Rivals apart from most
so many people?
Yeah,
so many people.
most people. But yeah, that's kind
she's,
of cool.
She's the diva of the Marvel.
Oh fuck, that's watch. A great comparison. Yeah, straight up. In the hero shooter that is the hero fighter that is Marvel Tokon, she's your diva.
Yeah. Oh, great success. The PS5 has outsold Nintendo's new Switch 2 for the second consecutive month in February 2026 for US sales charts. Suck it, Nintendo.
Sucked in, you big dorks. Also, Max, just, you know, hey everyone, this is my Ryan's Weekly. He talks about wanting a PS Pro update. This week, we may have had some forward progression. Let's talk about with Phoebe, and she's essentially the lines of like, you know, isn't the PS6 me right around the corner? I'm like, well, not really. It's still a couple of years away. Okay.
I don't know if it is. You have to imagine that they're already in deals with, like, they've already made their deals with AMD and all their other
suppliers. So when I say a couple of deals, I'm talking like 27, 28. Like, it's not like immediate. But then we watched a clip. We watched some Digital Foundry stuff for like the PSSSR2. Mm. And she was like, oh man, that's actually much better. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. I say this every week. Like, I know it's me just wanting new shit. I don't fucking need it. I really don't need it. But part of me is like,
if you get one, can I borrow it and see if Crimson Desert's just like way better?
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, I imagine Expedition's gonna look fucking immaculate. Like, Resi would look redonkulous.
Oh, I don't know. I played Code Obscura on PC and it did look fucking immaculate.
Yeah. So, I imagine the Pro would look pretty fantastic. But So, look, it is possible in the near future.
Hey, I remember a conversation that she said that you could have one once you were divorced.
And that is correct. I am, in fact, divorced now. It 2 weeks ago, it got all processed and approved and thumbed up. But I'm not technically divorced for 1 month and 1 day after the court date. So I'm still technically married for like a little bit longer. But yeah, like no, I'm strapped. I'm a divorcee now. Oh, something I never thought I'd say. Never, but there you go. I'm a divorcee. Which is stoked. It makes Phoebe stoked because then she's like, that means we can get married. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? I've done it before. I'll do it again. That was great. And I think it'll be fun. But look, just like my marriage, PSVR 2 seems to be pretty dead.
Oh, what a segue.
But, oh, isn't it my turn? It is my turn. But Microsoft.
I thought you were going to go like a different way and be like crashed and burned like the planes I fly in Microsoft.
Oh, no. Just like my marriage, the plane hit the second tower. So the Gran Turismo has inspired the upcoming PSVR 2 mode for Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. It is expected to arrive early next year. Early 2026, sorry, that is this year. So obviously within the next like month or so, couple months, who knows. But look, PSVR 2, I think there will be no PSVR 3. I think they tried it once, had pretty good results, but then kind of didn't give the time it needed. Give it a second go, repeated the same shit they did with the first, and now they're surprised that no one wants to play it.
You see that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles VR game at Steam Next Fest?
No.
It looked dope. It's a co-op, like, picture the spot like Marvel Spider-Man games.
Yeah.
But you're TMNTs and you can play in co-op with friends in VR. And just like punch baddies as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Okay, like that sounds rad, but this they announced this week that, you know, Firewall Ultra, whatever the hell it was, like the sequel to Zero Wall, like that's getting its service canned. And like that game was solely, you had to be in a squad and you had to work together. So great idea. Very similar to another game that was mentioned this week that I completely fucking forgot about. Oh, that's right, because Red Storm Entertainment got axed this week by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
And they were the team behind like Werewolves Within and Star Trek Bridge Crew. And I was like, man, Star Trek Bridge. I'm not a Star Trek guy, but like the idea of a Star Trek game where we're all like in VR in the fucking Enterprise, all having our designated roles, that sounded fucking sick. But then the idea of getting five people to have fucking PSVRs to sit together and play that all cared about Star Trek enough? Nah. Like, there's a potential for that to be a thing, but VR in general had its moment and it could have been massive, but it's just so unideal compared to just playing games normally with a controller and a monitor. Just that, like, you know, we humans are lazy, man. Path of least resistance. Just those little bits of resistance in the VR setup really just kind of like slows you down, and that's a big old bummer. What's next?
Shenmue 3 is getting re-released again on PS5 with enhanced features and a collector's edition, bringing back the beloved series. Do we need this again? Didn't Shenmue Shenmue 3? Didn't they re-release it with Shenmue 1 and 2? Or is this the first time they're re-releasing it?
I don't know.
Shenmue's a thing.
Shenmue is like this big Sega property. It was kind of like this gnarly RPG back in the day, like really as well, allegedly well regarded, but I don't fucking know anyone's ever played it. Shenmue 3 was announced at a PSX many, many years ago. with them coming out going, we're going to do fucking Kickstarter. We're going to crowdfund Shenmue 3. And I remember collectively everyone kind of went, what the fuck? Like, not that Shenmue 3 is happening. Everyone's like, woo, I guess. But the idea that they have to come out to announce, they're fucking made by Sega, or like Sega, how the fuck you pronounce it. They shouldn't have to beg for, that was so weird. So weird. And I'm glad they did that because no one bought it.
I'm pretty sure that was after the launch of the Dreamcast, where everyone could just play pirated games straight out of the
box. Oh, yeah, straight up. Yeah.
I mean, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still like happening, apparently.
Everything else is getting banned, but
Duke Nukem Forever style.
Ha! Man, I remember when that game came out. What a bum.
Does the next story interest you?
Yes, it does. Is it my turn or your turn?
It is your turn.
Beautiful. PS Portal is getting an update this week. Now, I updated mum, they haven't realizing exactly what it was. However, there's a couple of different things in here. The main, there's a lot of integrations more around the streaming side. Well, the whole thing's a streaming device, but I mean like the PS3 streaming that we don't have access to here in Australia. So the major thing within this update for us Aussies is that it is getting a 1080p high quality mode. So you can already stream from your console to your portal in various resolutions. I think, yeah, 1080p, 720, I think that's kind of it. Yeah, there's only the two options. To allow you to cater to your various internet connections. They're now offering a 1080p high quality mode. So it's the similar, but with like a higher bit rate. So if you do have the internet and the Wi-Fi that supports a higher bit rate connection, sweet. You're going to get a better quality image than you would have before. Stoked. Majority of my Portal experience is done at home. So having a little higher connection, sick. Because it's, you know, all within the same house, all within the same connection. I do have the high fiber cable to my house. So I have close to, you know, gigabit speed. It's like, 900 or something at its maximum. So I'm not too heavily impacted if, you know, as in I could do this without too much finesse. Stoked. Love it. Big fan. But Max, question. If you're going to play games and they're coming to you this week, what are they?
This week,
games. Sorry, I was taking
games. Games this week.
Assholes.
No, that's all right. I was like mid sentence typing something to Ellie. coming March 24th, we have Ariana and the Elder Codex, PS5, PS4, and
not Overcode. Ariana Grande, sadly. Mm-hmm. But imagine she had her own game, like Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen used to. That'd be a laugh. Is she cool? Oh, well, she's in fucking Fortnite, isn't she?
Yes.
Everything's in Fortnite.
Yeah, dude.
Daenerys and fucking the...
Yeah, Jon Snow and the Night King.
Yeah. Why? The thing that I don't understand is like, why now? Why not 10 years ago when fucking Game of Thrones was relevant?
Because HBO didn't want to sell the rights yet.
Oh.
Or it was too expensive 10 years ago and now they're cheap as fuck.
Yeah, and then after that final season, everyone's like, hey, we're in our third series of House of the Dragon and no one cares about it.
Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is doing well though. Everyone's
is that them as
fucking,
well?
Everyone likes Donk and his name?
Is a character called Donk?
I don't think his name is Donk. Hang on.
I want it to be called Donk so bad. I would watch it if there's a guy called Donk.
It's on the HBO Max. What's his name? What's his fucking name?
I have that.
Dunk. His name's Dunk. Fuck, I was close. To Duncan.
Oh, okay. Sure, for Duncan. I thought his name was actually just Donk. Like Hodor. Like you kind of traumatic backstory.
So you know in Game of Thrones where they're like, where Jamie's opening the book of all the fucking gold cloak wankers and he's like, and here's the section for Sir Duncan and he's just fucking going.
No, but sure.
And like the rule is like each person was only ever supposed to get one page and Sir Duncan's just got like a fucking chapter.
Oh, yeah. Well, weirdly, I do remember that.
Yeah, this is his story. It's Duncan Egg. Because he rides around with a little egg on Targaryen. It's Duncan Egg.
Cool.
And apparently it is really good.
I don't know, with a name like Duncan Egg, I feel like they've AI'd a name there.
Well, Aeg is short for Aegon Targaryen, and Dunk is short for Duncan. Like,
sure.
Anyway, the other game coming out March 24th is Overpowered 2, The Crux of Fate, PS5, PS4. March 25th brings you Virtual Hunter on the PS5. Ooh. March 26th, Damon and Baby, PS5, PS4. Devil's Jam, PS5, PS4.
Delicious.
Dracomar, PS5. Estrange Overlord, PS5, PS4.
Is that meant to be Estrange and you just spelt it wrong?
Maybe. I thought I copied and pasted everything. I'll double check in a second.
All right, while you keep going, I'll have a look.
Icarus, PS5. Life is Strange Reunion, PS5.
No, you were correct. It is called Broccoli, Etrange, in capitals, Entridge Overlord. And it's okay. It's weeby as fuck.
Cool.
I hate it. They're all chibi.
Neopets, Mega Minigames Collection, the Napoleon. The Neopian Arcade. Yeah, Neopian Arcade Odyssey, PS5. New Super Lucky's Tale, PS5. Fuck the old Super Lucky's Tale. Project Songbird, PS5. Screamer, PS5. The Boys, Trigger Warning, PSVR 2.
Is
that literally a...
That is literally The Boys. It looks like cheeks. But, yeah, it's literally the logo. Like, the image
Is it free? Can you, like... do some Google magic and find out if it's like a free experience from Amazon.
So the shot is like Homelander above like a carnival and someone's reaching out. But if you actually look at the in-game pictures, like there's a picture of a fucking Aussie guy and it looks like bombs.
It just says announced. It doesn't have a fucking... On the PlayStation Store site, it doesn't have a fucking release date, nor does it have a...
Which means it's a
price tag.
Let me check on the meta.com. Is it just announced or is it coming? It just says coming spring 2026. There is no way it's coming out this week.
Well, according to Push Square, which is where this information came from.
Push Square, you fucks. Yeah, it still looks like bums, though.
I don't know. Anyway.
I kind of want to play that, though. That does look kind of...
And lastly, Crash Goblin coming to PS5. I
thought that was the previous game.
And then March 27, we get Casual Sports Series Boxing, PS5, PS5. I'm called Boxing at Casual Sport, but whatever. Marvel Maximum Collection, PS5, and Mega Man Star Force Legacy Collection, PS5, PS4.
Well, that's exciting. Let's
double check this. Fuck.
What are you checking?
No, it says The Boys Trigger Warning, 26th of March, PSVR2. Developed with the creators and featuring cast from the hit series The Boys, Trigger Warning plunges you into a glorious twisted world of The Boys. This time you're not watching the chaos, you're in it. Close up, personal, and dangerously real. Can't wait to be slapped in the face by that guy with like the 100-inch dick.
Now I want the little guy to go up my anus and explode.
Can we go to like, what was that episode called? Soupgasm or whatever the fuck it was called? What was it?
I only got through like season one. I got a little bit into season two, and then I kind of just got distracted and sort of wandered off. But it was fine. But yeah, I did see that little guy get really
Herogasm.
Herogasm, that's the one.
Good times.
Do we like Homelander get sprayed in the face with like booby milk, but in VR?
It's just breast milk simulator.
Dear God. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Apologies for the technical issues. For those of you that are watching at home on release day, you may not even notice. But, yeah.
Well, they might. Depends on how much effort you put into...
Oh, absolutely not. I might do, like, one of those do-do-do-do-do-do, and then for, like, 2 seconds.
Just do, like, a star fade.
Yeah. Just star wipe, and then we're all like out of here.
Previously on.
Yeah. But, yeah, big thank you to everyone for joining us once again. As I said, 431 episodes in the bank. We're insane for still doing this, especially in a post-console war world. For whatever reason, we still come in here and talk PlayStation, but mostly just talk games, talk about ourselves, just sort of catch up and, you know, share our lives with each and every one of you. So thank you for taking the time once again.
Welcome to our TED Talk about pornos.
And making babies, not in the same conversation, but also in the same conversation. And then me being very sore from scootering, which is such a bizarre sentence to say.
From all the baby making.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Yeah. I did, you know, I did have to go back to them and they're like, can you use another sample? So I can't believe that. Either way, Max, you know what you're doing. Let's get the fuck out of here. You got to go to work and like.
I do.
Now.
Pretty much now. Yeah, pretty much now. All right, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.